Many times throughout the years, I've been asked, where should I begin reading my Bible? Oftentimes, I've said John. Many times, I've said 1 John. The reason is John helps us to understand the deity and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John helps us to understand the relationships that are to be built as a Christian. And that's where we're headed tonight. I will say this. I believe that perhaps even a better book to start with is the first one. There are so many today who have no idea who made everything, have no idea why man is in the situation he's in, and to read and to study, especially the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, is of great, marvelous importance. But let's read here, chapter number 1. I think I'll just read it in its entirety. What a great chapter. It says, that which we have, which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which have we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, what's He say? We lie. And do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to read together the word of God. Lord, I've always marveled at how you would speak to my heart, even in the reading of the scripture, after I've studied it and ready to preach upon it, and yet you bless. Your word is life and it's light. And we just thank you, O God, for tonight. We pray for your blessing. As we look a little bit, perhaps we can say deeper, that our minds might be thrilled at what we see in the scripture tonight. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Relationships. When relationships are in due order, then we have a key verse that can be applied. Verse number 4 says, these things write we unto you. Notice the first word in that verse. And so it's connected with what is previous, that your joy may be full. Do you believe God wants you to be sad? God will allow you to go through some great problems, but God wants you to have joy in the midst of great problems. Matter of fact, He said, count it all joy when you fall into divers lusts, temptations. Well, they can be lost. Glad you folks got it right. Okay. But joy, really, is having an open relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it's called fellowship. Notice verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We find it certainly that we can have fellowship with God. The disciples remembered Him as a person. They met Him, they walked with Him, they talked with Him. And yet He's called, in verse number 1, the Word of Life. Interesting that that text is used. Because you and I can have the same kind of fellowship. Though we will not see Him with our vision, we will not hear Him with our hearing, yet we can have that fellowship with Him. And we do so primarily through the Word of God. He has shown us with the Father in fellowship, and then he's manifested for the very same purpose that you and I can have fellowship with him. Any true fellowship with the Lord is also going to bring about something else, and that is with our brethren. When we're walking with God and we're talking with God and things are good with us and God, it's interesting how we also have that with our brethren. For if you're in fellowship with God and I'm in fellowship with God, then automatically we go together. If A equals B and A equals C, then C equals B. It's geometry. Or is that algebra? Might be calculus for all I know. But nonetheless, it is showing a principle that you and I, as we walk with him, we then can walk with each other. Okay? I don't believe there's a right way or a right with, I don't believe we can be right with God. Let me get it out right. And be out of step with our brethren. The Bible says in the book of Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? Our agreement is in Christ. And our recognition of his lordship in all things. We might not agree upon certain things that are mundane and really unessential. You may like to part your hair on the right side, and they might like to part mine on the left side. Tell you the truth, I don't know which it is. And we can disagree on which looks best. Well, we can compromise, just part it down the middle. That would be a yucky thought, wouldn't it? Chad, you can't park yours anywhere. Mike's already got a permanent part. Those are my verse number 5. I'll treat you nice now, Mike. Mike and I have a club. Well, thank you. It's an old tie. I think I'm mixed up now. After verse 4, where he talks about our joy being full, notice verse 5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and him is no darkness at all. Simply stated, God has nothing to hide. And for those who want him as our Savior and God, there is no hiding of his glory and of his greatness. It is there for us to see. Amen. In Mark chapter 4, he said, with many parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to bear it. But without a parable spake he none of them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Those who want to hear, those who want to have fellowship with God, can certainly have it. There's nothing that is within the being of God that is sinful. God is holy. Matter of fact, God is holy. In other words, completely holy. I've been talking to the kids in school the last couple of days about holiness. I believe there's a great problem with young people today, and that problem is they never really see the holiness of God. They grow up in our homes, and we want them to get saved, and we show them the Savior, and we talk to them how they need Christ, and they need to ask him into their lives. And we fail at one point, and that's to point them out to the fact how great, how holy God is. Because when we see the holiness of God, what's that show about ourselves? When we see perfection, it shows us of being very imperfect. And so when you go to Isaiah and you find where it talks about the angels singing, holy, 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 immediately we find that Isaiah declares himself to be one of unclean lips. He realizes he's sinned because he's seen a holy God. And so you and I, because of our sins, we go into hiding from God. Matter of fact, Genesis 3 is all about that. As they sinned, they hid from God. Sin, by the way, then put man at variance with his brother. We find that in chapter 4, as one brother kills another. And what I'm trying to get across here is this. When we have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with each other. We get out of fellowship with each other, it's probably because we're out of fellowship with God. When we get bad attitudes toward brethren, it's probably because we have a bad attitude toward God and how we need to make adjustments in regards to that. There are three assumptions that men make. All of them in this chapter are predicted by the term "if we say." Notice verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, we lie. Verse number 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Saying it doesn't make it so. There's a crowd today of Christians, they call them, well, I call them name and claim it. They believe that if you just name it, then God has to produce it in your life. But a lot of things can be said that are not so. And so we're thinking about this matter of fellowship with God. It's manifested, I believe, in three very distinct ways. I suppose if you looked and searched, you could find more than this. But as we think about our fellowship with God, there are three things that are very distinct. One we've already touched on, that is the fellowship with the brethren. Notice with me again verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and walk not in the truth and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I don't know about you, but I find that remarkable. This fellowship is not hiding our inner being from God or others. We are very familiar with the fact that God knows all about us. We know that he knows our goodnesses, very few, and he knows our sinfulness. But the problem that I believe we fail to do is to know ourselves by allowing his light to truly shine upon us, that we might see who we are. We must come to where we are transparent with one another as God shows us, that we may walk together with greater love. Transparent with each other, transparent with God. I believe it would be important. Sin is not what we're speaking of here. We're speaking of what James refers to as our faults. He says in chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. That's not confession of sin. That goes to God, confessing our faults. We have weaknesses, things that pull us down. And maybe your weakness, as soon as you get on the highway, you want to step on it and go faster than anybody else. Dr. Policeman will pull you over and give you a ticket. And, you know, maybe you got something. I use that just as a silly illustration. Well, it's not really silly, but it is an illustration. And so we do have faults. And so often we don't want anybody to know who we are. We don't want to be transparent. And as a result of that, what takes place is we wrap ourselves in a veneer. And we seek for other men to fellowship with a ghost, not the real being. You'll notice the last few years, one of the things I've asked our missionaries to do at our missions conference is to mention to you some of the problems they have faced, and to also say, we had some failures here. For, you know, when a missionary's been on the field for 4 or 5 years, they can come back, and in 30 minutes they can talk about some great, you know, victories. If you were to look back over the last 4 or 5 years, you could talk about some prayers that have been answered. You could talk about some things that God did, and you could probably fill 30 minutes rather easily. And then we get the idea that these people are superhuman. But if we're going to pray for them, we need to understand they are not superhuman. They're like you and me. And so they confess some of those things and relay that to you and I. And I believe that our fellowship can be more dear as a result of that. It's not for the purpose that somebody confesses a fault that we can go talk to everybody else about it. But it's something that gives us the privilege and the opportunity to help and be a blessing to that person in those areas. And what a neat thing that is. And so God wants us to have fellowship with each other and to have fellowship with Him. You know, if we can't do it with each other, how can we do it with God? Or if we can't do it, if we can't do it with God, if we do it with God, we ought to be able to do it with each other. And as we look at all of these things, he comes to verse number 9, he says, if we confess our sins. He's not talking about our faults here, he's talking about our sins. This is something we take to God for. And once we confess that sin, God will forgive us. So what's the second thing that is a distinction or a manifestation of the fellowship with God? It is that with the fellowship of the brethren and then the confession of sin. For you and I as a Christian pretend to be without sin is to what reveal that the truth has escaped us. But as we walk in the light, it shows sin we never even considered before. And the object of that is to confess it to the Lord. Once confessed, it's forgiven. Let me ask you something. Have you asked God for forgiveness in a certain area, and later on, you thought of another detail? What was God doing? Showing you a little bit more of what was wrong. What's He want us to do? Ask for His forgiveness. And as we grow in the Lord, as we get closer to Him, the more that light shines, and the more we see that we have in our lives. But here's the neat part. When we confess it, what happens to it? It's gone. It's gone. And by the way, if we don't believe that in verse number 9, we're going to end up with a great problem. Some people say it's forgiving yourself. No, it's realizing that God has forgiven you. It is His desire. It is what He wants. And if I don't get this page turned, we're going to miss number 3. Last thing I'd like for us to notice found in verse number 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. What's another thing that reveals that we have a fellowship with God? Not only do we find that in our fellowship with God, we have fellowship with the brethren, we have confession of our sin, but there is an absorption of the truth. It just begins to come in. When you and I think we haven't sinned and allow the Word of God to shine light upon it and confess it, His Word's not in us. It doesn't absorb within us. But when we are having fellowship with God, we're seeking that confession which allows us to absorb the truth of God's Word. You know, it's an interesting thing. We can sit through the reading of Scripture, the preaching of the Bible, and never make a move to the altar of God. We can love to praise the attributes of God, but never allow them to shine as a light upon our own unworthiness. To truly walk with the Lord is to be in and walk in His truth, which is the Word of God. How important it is. Kids have a little song, read your Bible, pray every day. How important that is. Because it is that Word that is going to lighten up our lives. It is that Word that reveals God to us, reveals ourself to us, allows us to make confession of the Lord, allows us to take off the veneer with our fellow brethren, that we can walk in fellowship. Do you like being a close friend to somebody who knows it all? Do you like being a close friend to somebody who does everything perfectly right? Honestly, it's easier to be a close friend with somebody that is willing to see who they are with you. They're open in that. there's growth. But we far too often want to put that little barrier up and not confess our faults. And I think perhaps it's a fear of man, fear of what people might think of us. But it's time to throw that pride out. Okay? Fellowship with God. How important it is. How much we need that. And that's what God wants us to have. As He lights that path for us. And as He lights up who we are as well. Okay? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank You for this tremendous chapter. Lord, somehow I pray that You've taken these feeble words and made a light into hearts and lives. And dear God, I pray that we might realize and recognize that our fellowship with You is shown by our fellowship with our brethren. It's shown by our willingness to confess that which is wrong in our lives. And Lord, it's our desire to absorb the marvelous Word of God, to allow it to rest deep within our soul. I pray for Your blessing on the young folks that go across the way. I pray, Father, as we come to You in prayer tonight, that You might bless in these moments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.